Morning for a message. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at the first couple of verses in this chapter. The title of my message this morning is a question: how has God changed your story? Been pondering that recently, and for the beginning of the message, I chose Hebrews chapter 12, and just want to look at, maybe I'll read the first 15 verses here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just stand before you this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you for the work that you have done in our lives. We thank you for the work that you still want to do. And Lord, we thank you for the promises that we can find in Scripture this morning. We thank you for the encouragement, for the warnings, for just the things that we can glean from your word. And I pray, Lord, this morning that you would, again, we're here this morning, we want to hear from you. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister to each heart that is here. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to those that are listening in this morning. I pray that you would bless them. And Lord, we pray for those that are traveling and away from home. We just lift each one up to you. And Lord, we just want to commit this service to you. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter here, Just a couple of pointers that I saw as I was reading this passage. A call to lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Recognizing that. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's where our faith began, and if we endure to the end, it's where it will end. Accept the chastening of God. It means that Jesus loves you. Pursue relationship with people and God. Be aware of the sin of bitterness that so easily springs up and troubles you. Just a couple of pointers that I saw in this passage here. And so we come back to the title, How Has Jesus Changed Your Story? When we stop and start telling, going through our life and talking about our story, and we just start going through chapters and days of our life, there's certain parts of our lives that we're excited to talk about. It brings joy. It brings, sometimes it's like we realize the things that were accomplished in it. It brings joy to our heart. But if we go through chapters and parts of our lives, there's also parts that we come across that we'd rather not think about. We don't care to talk about those things. And so as I was pondering that, chosen just to, in a brief, just walk through some of the things that I've experienced in life and as I did that, as I was doing that in my mind, I realized again and again by the decisions that I made how God changed my story. All of us, I trust, if we go back into the early stages of our lives, we have memories that we appreciate and enjoy. And there's also bad things that have happened that we don't necessarily uphold. Going into my teenage years and just processing some of the things that I went through, and there was times that I was living a rebellious life, seeking to find enjoyment with the things that I wanted to do. Not having a relationship with my parents, but rather coming against them. There was a time of when I came to my senses and I heard God's call in my life. And I chose to respond to that call. I repented of my sins. I got right with God. That first day, it was in a church service. that I responded to Jesus and made a public appearance and told the people my position of where I was and where I wanted to be. My decision that day motivated another person that I hardly knew to choose Jesus. He came up to me afterwards and said, because of you, because of your boldness to walk up and proclaim that you were not right with God and wanted to get right with God, I decided I wanted to do that as well. That was the beginning of my journey with Jesus. Later, there was times that I was processing life, and I was wondering whether it's worth living for Jesus. It was in my mind, it's like, is this really worth it? And as I look at the battles that I went through and the decision that I came to, it was Jesus that changed my story. Because of the decision that I made for Jesus in that time, that I have the story that I have. Later on, times when I did crazy things, and there was numerous things that we as people get ourselves into, and I was one of them, and I remember times of I was advised that I needed to make a confession in the church. Another time, there was a time that I was asked to go to a church that I hardly knew, that involved people that I knew, and I shared of things that I had done or had been involved in. Working through relationships. Later on in life, working through relationships of times that I thought were opportunities for marriage that clearly God closed the door. Working through those things and accepting them as God closing the door. Starting a relationship with my wife and working and building that relationship and marrying my wife. And in the beginning of that relationship, I remember when I drove into Maine, I was currently living in Pennsylvania at that time, and I came driving down Rutland Road. And I started driving into that driveway, and I was like, what am I doing here? Is this worth it? I got scared. I pressed on, and God was writing my story. Marrying my wife, raising children with my wife, learning to relate together, willing to work through difficult things, and having a godly and working relationship. Willing to work through the call of being a pastor. Embracing that call. There was a time, there was months that I was resisting that call. God was putting his finger on my life and was showing me what he wanted me to do. And I came to the place of surrender, of submission. As I process my story and look at my life, I see over and over again how it wasn't my doings that created my story, but it was my life surrendering to Jesus and how Jesus changed my story. How he saved me from my sins. How I experienced forgiveness of sin. How so many times in difficult situations, when there was a lot of emotions going on and I didn't know hardly how to make the right decision, that God helped me. I allowed God to help me. Not always without a struggle in battles of my own. That's my story in a very brief setting. In Genesis chapter 37, we can look at a story of Joseph. We go down to verse, just like to look at just a piece here. I believe we're all very familiar. It's in Genesis chapter 37, going down to verse 20. Talking about Joseph's relationship with his brothers. Now, come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicy balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. So we see the relationship here that Joseph had with his brothers. It was very, very bad. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. And in the end, instead of killing him, they sold him, thinking that
They'll never have to see him again. So this was Joseph's lot in life due to the hatred that his brothers had for him. If we go fast forward to Genesis chapter 45, and we look at the first few verses in this chapter here, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Does my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." Here we see a very not good picture of how God wrote Joseph's story. Human nature in chapter 45 would have said, "Here's my chance. Here's my opportunity. It's payday." Joseph lived a life after God. He knew God had a job for him. And he had accepted that calling. And he had embraced it. And he was living it out to the best of his ability. And here we see in this chapter that Joseph had an opportunity to show his brothers that he loved them, that he loved his father and his brothers. And God, we see God change Joseph's story here. Maybe as we sit here and ponder and walk through our lives, we find things in our lives that we realize it's still my story. It's not that it hasn't been changed. Let's look at some reasons that might cause that to happen in our lives. In Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3, "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights of you, who say to yourself, 'Who can bring me down to the ground?'" What do we see there talking? It's talking about the pride of our hearts. We think we've got it together. We've deceived ourselves. We think we can somehow work it out. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, talks about, in that verse, talks about the root of bitterness springing up and trouble you. So the first thing that we talked about is pride. In Hebrews 12, verse 15, it talks about the root of bitterness. It will trouble you and corrupt your faith. If we have bitterness, we will be consumed with what can't happen instead of what can. We believe our own lies. we've convinced ourselves that this is the way it is. Instead of believing God and trusting God, how many times do you think that Joseph was tempted to be bitter? And to just like, well, this is my lot in life. Nothing's going to change. It kills faith that God can change things. That's what bitterness will do to our lives. In Mark chapter 6, in this verse here, verse 5, Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, and he could there do no mighty works save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. So what was the reason here that Jesus was not able to do many miracles? It was unbelief in their hearts. They didn't believe that there was, they didn't believe in God. Unbelief in your life will have what kind of effect? When we go down the road of bitterness and we let those things consume us, it kills faith that God can change things. And we let unbelief dwell in our hearts. And we see in this passage that Jesus was not able to do many miracles because of their unbelief. Do we allow unbelief to dwell in our hearts? How do I know if these sins are controlling my life? What are some things that we tend to do when we go down these roads? We often refuse to take responsibility for the things that are coming out of our lives. And so that means that we tend to blame other people for the problems that we're facing. Everything, this is human nature. This isn't just something that some of us deal with. This is something I believe that we all face. When things go wrong, what happens? How do we respond when we're at work and our day falls apart? The plans that we had didn't go the way that they were supposed to. We start looking for a reason. And if we're not careful, we start looking outwardly and we say, well, it was because of this. And we can very quickly name a number of reasons why it went that way. And if we're not very careful and intentional, we fail to analyze our own life in it and say, well, what part did I play in it? So we find ourselves not taking fault. We identify ourselves as a victim. Instead of taking ownership and responsibility, blaming does something. When we blame things, it keeps us from facing our own
faults, our own sins.
In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eye, but the Lord pondereth the heart. In our own thinking, we like to think we process things in a human nature. We are right in our own eyes. But where does the Lord go? He looks at our heart. He sees what we're made of, and that's how he comes to the conclusion. Maybe we're sitting here this morning realizing that Jesus wants to change my story. What we decide to do when God points things out in our lives, we can go back and it's like, well, this is where I'm at, and be discouraged. But what we need to do is when God shows us things to do, is to take those things and apply them to our lives. What we decide to do is what God shows us to do will one day determine the stories that we will tell about our life. The decisions that we made in the past tell our story today, whether they were for ourselves or whether they were for Jesus. A direction, not intention, determines our destination. If we want a closer walk with God, we must spend more time with him. We need to tell him our story. It's not looking for a religious person that keeps track of his prayer time and his Bible reading and for the law. That's what you need to see. But he wants a relationship. He wants us to tell the story the way it is. He wants to change that story. If we want a better relationship with our spouse, we have to change how I relate. Start seeing things about myself. If we want a better relationship with our children, you need to spend more time with them. Help them pursue the dreams they have. Help them be successful. As you, a verse that I found in Psalm 144, verse 12. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown. Our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. We want to be more like that. We realize this morning in any of these areas, if God is showing us that he wants to change our story, we need to take action. A direction, not intention, determines our destination. Intentions, good intentions that aren't pursued and worked out, get us nowhere. Sometimes, and this is something that we probably all thought or said, is
look at our story and say, if I could only go back and do things different. And you get stuck with it. So I was pondering that in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, he tells us there that if we have put this hand on the plow, looking back is unfit for the kingdom. Yes, sometimes we need to go back and make things right. But he's looking for a people that is willing to move forward. Go in a direction. Build on the things that God has shown us. Not getting stuck with the things that are behind us. So in other words, we must take stock of what we are doing today. If we want to experience God changing our story for tomorrow. Something has to change. Think often. God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his people. And through his Holy Spirit. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 17, Moses, looking at this picture here, and Jethro, which I think his father-in-law, had some words for Moses, said he needs to change things the way he's doing it. Moses, being a leader, serving God, doing lots of things for the world. Good. And he said, you need to stop doing everything. You need to bring other people into your life and let them help you do these things. In my own words, just one way that God speaks to us. In closing here, how do we live out a story worth telling? Go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And God bless each one of you.